Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Last Sunday morning, I gave you reasons for studying the book of Titus, reasons for preaching from the Word of God, verse by verse. This morning, we begin the book of Titus. We begin with chapter 1, verse 1, and the phrase, Paul, a servant of God. Paul, a servant of God. My sermon this morning is a sermon about a man. He is not a superman. According to his own admission, he is not tall, broad-shouldered, tanned, well-groomed. The Bible tells us that his body presence was weak. He is not the person that we generally think of when we think of a man who is in such a place of leadership as was Paul the Apostle. This man's life story is not a story of a winner, as we usually think of that word and as it is used in our culture and society today. Paul never amassed any fortunes. In fact, he gave up everything he had once possessed. He was oftentimes imprisoned, and his name was a synonym for those who brought great disgrace upon their families and upon their religious heritage. Paul was a man who changed from Judaism to the religion of Jesus Christ, and as such, he was known as a traitor. As a Greek, he was also hated by his countrymen because they thought he was a man who went about stirring up trouble, setting people against one another. This man's life and his story has three distinct parts. There is Paul as Saul of Tarsus. Then there is Paul, the servant of God, Paul the Apostle. And then there is Paul the Aged. These are three natural divisions of the life of Paul, a servant of God. I don't believe that Paul would have me stand here this morning before you and tell you his life story without telling you of Saul of Tarsus. The reason I say that is because every time Paul told his own life story, he always told of what he was before he met Jesus Christ, before he became a Christian. Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, was a religionist. In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us of his admission of being a very strict and an extremely dedicated religionist. Acts chapter 26, verses 4 and 5. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify, that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. Notice what Paul said. After the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. Then in the book of Philippians, Paul talks and writes of his past. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, my heritage and my own genealogy is of such a character that no one can call it into question. And he said, as far as zeal is concerned, I not only disagree with Jesus Christ, not only did I disagree with the church, but mine was no simple indifference. I persecuted the church. I didn't tolerate it, nor did I speak well of it. I persecuted the church. Now as to the law and righteousness which is in the law, blameless. I was not an extortioner. I was not an adulterer. I kept the Sabbath as it is set forth in the scriptures and by the elders of Israel. Concerning the law, blameless. Paul was a religionist. He didn't have to look back on his past and say, I didn't believe in God. He was a man who had a great zeal for God. And Paul was, as I said, as Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 58. We're reading now of Stephen the martyr. And the Bible tells us in verse 58 of Acts chapter 7 that they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had thus said, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Paul was a religionist. Paul was a persecutor. And the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Timothy that Paul was also a blasphemer. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. Paul writes of himself in verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. In the same book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 15, Paul also states that he was the chief of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Who was Paul as Saul of Tarsus? He was a religionist, a persecutor, a blasphemer, and the chiefest of sinners. But let us look now at Paul the Apostle. At Paul, a servant of God. Let's turn quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's begin reading at verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 22. Paul speaks of men who have come to the church at Corinth and boasted of what they are religiously and boasted of what they have done in the name of Jesus Christ. Now notice, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul wrote of himself and told of his life. And as he wrote in Titus, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. For a minute now, let's look at that word, servant. Its meaning, as we look at it today, is that of a slave. It means to stand in relationship as a slave. Many times we say that Paul is telling us that he was a slave of Jesus Christ. But the word slave gives a rather bad interpretation of the word servant. The word is doulos, and it has the meaning of not being able to exercise your own will. It was never used in connection with religion, even in the Greek religion, until the translation of the 70 or the Septuagint, and then it was used. The Greeks were a very proud and well-educated and free people, and they found personal dignity in the fact of freedom. They did not desire to be in bondage of the will. And the word doulos gave the impression of being in bondage of the will. Sometimes we say that Paul meant, I'm in the service of Jesus Christ. I am God's servant, therefore I am in the service of God. Service was not repudiated by the Greeks. The Greek city-state depended upon the service of its citizens. They gave the city-states their service with all their powers, even to life itself. So they were not ashamed nor afraid of the word service, and yet they did not use the word doulos in connection with themselves and their service to their state or city. The service of a doulos, the servant of this kind of service, the service of this kind of servant has no possibility of evading the tasks that are laid upon him. He has no personal choice. That is the impact of the word. The man had no personal choice. He must do what another will have done, and he must refrain from doing what another will not have done. Paul is saying, Paul, a servant of God, my will is not mine. I have yielded myself to do what God will, and I have yielded myself to refrain from doing what God would not do. Paul, a servant of God, in bondage to the will of God, not having mine own will, is what Paul is saying. And he said in that submission to God, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And here's a man who stood by, probably with the papers in his pocket, that gave legitimacy to the stoning of Stephen, who, as an act of custom to say that he, a leader in the Jewish religion, acquiesced and gave blessing to the stoning of Stephen, the Bible tells us that he held the coats, symbolically relieving them of obligation or recrimination in the stoning of Stephen. He held their coats while they stoned Stephen to death. A persecutor, a blasphemer, the chiefest of sinners, a man who put to death, he states himself, all that he could find who walked in the way. With authority, he came into the churches, and the Bible tells us that he himself said he wreaked havoc, that he made havoc upon the church of the living God. But now this same man, according to his own writings, has suffered all the things we read in order that he might preach Christ, whom he once persecuted, that he might exalt him whom he once blasphemed, that he might serve him whom he once denied and denounced, that he might become a part of that which he tore apart, that he might become a leader of that which he at one time despised. And in his own words said, I am in bondage to this God, and I am an apostle of his son, Jesus. What happened? What happened? What changed Paul as Saul of Tarsus to Saul, a servant of God? We might ask the change. Why and how? Again, we go to the book of Acts, chapter 22. The book of Acts, chapter 22. And let's begin reading at verses 6. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. And it came to pass that, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. This was Paul before the multitude at Jerusalem. He had to give some reason for his being there in Jerusalem and give some reason for his claiming to be one of them. And they wanted to know, Paul, tell us what happened to you. You used to come here with letters. You used to come here and imprison us. You used to come here and help put our brethren to death. What happened to you, Paul? And Paul tells them. And then in the book of Acts chapter 24, he also tells them. Let's begin reading at verse 14. This is Paul before Felix. Acts chapter 24, verse 14. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Paul said, I worship according to the way that is called heresy, that is the Christian way. And he said, I believe all things which were written in the law and the prophets. And this was important. Paul had to go back to the Old Testament and study again the prophecies of the Messiah. To look again into the law as it was given to Moses and to see the blood of the animals, and to see in their death necessity, and to see in the blood fulfillment. Paul had to see, as he read the Old Testament, thousands upon thousands of animals with their throats cut, and the blood red upon the hands of the priests as they sought to obtain a remission of sins. And then, like a thunderbolt, Paul said that when he read the law, that he died and sin revived as Paul read the law. And as he read of the sacrifices, as he read of the blood spill, like a thunderbolt and like a dagger in his heart, he was wounded unto death and died to the righteousness of the law. Paul said, when the law was read, sin revived within me and I died. And Paul knew the Old Testament scriptures as they taught of Christ. And he remembered what people had said of Jesus of Nazareth, that he was led as a lamb before the shearers, that he was led as a lamb to a sacrifice. And the Bible tells us that he believed in Jesus of Nazareth. Let's look at Acts chapter 26 and Paul before Agrippa. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 26. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which things I also did in Jerusalem, many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Here's Saul of Tarsus, and he's telling this man about it. He said, I went to Jerusalem, and then I did many things contrary to the name of Jesus. I put God's people in prison, and I gave my voice against them in death. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and I compelled them to blaspheme. I so inflicted pain and misery upon these saints of God that they renounced the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I caused them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I went places where I'd never been before. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O king, I saw in the brightness, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. This is how Saul of Tarsus came into contact and confrontation and crisis in his heart and in his soul before Jesus of Nazareth. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 8 and 10, we find more of Paul's life. Notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. What a change. What a change. A man who persecuted, caused others to blaspheme God, who called for their blood. Now he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. But Paul said, I don't worry about it. I count them as but dung. They are as a heap of manure, Paul said. I don't worry about it. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is by the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul's life, a life of suffering, but more than anything else, a life of service. We read about all the things that Paul suffered, and we say all those stripes, all those wounds, all those times he was shipwrecked, all those times that he suffered so much. I know that must have been the worst thing that bothered Paul the Apostle. Well, after he'd listed all the things that he'd suffered physically, Paul said, besides those things are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. See, there were other burdens in Paul's life other than just the stripes, the wounds, the danger, the starvation, the weariness. He said, I've got something else on my heart, and that is, I have anxiety, which is translated care here in a good way, and it means someone who cares. I care about the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you can understand something of what a preacher feels when you think of your own children. And you look at them and you feel anxious care, not only for their physical well-being, but their spiritual and their life they must live in this world. You have such a care that you would lay your life down for that son or that daughter. And all of things could just be forgotten. They don't hold a great deal of importance anymore, because you have a care for that which is of your own flesh, your own blood. Paul said, I had such a care of the churches. I had such a concern for the churches. I don't think Paul means that as an overseer, I had to travel all over the known world and establish churches. I just think Paul said, as the church is the body of Christ, and I'm a man of God, I have concern. I care about the church. Something happened to Paul. He met Christ. And people tell me, preacher, I don't believe in the Damascus Road experience today, and I don't either, because we're not Jerusalem traveling to Damascus. We're not on the Damascus Road. I understand that. I don't insist on Damascus Road experience any more than I insist on Jordan River baptism. My friend, if you're ever changed by the power of God, you'll be changed in the same manner that Paul was changed. And if you're ever baptized, you'll be baptized in the same manner that Paul was baptized, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. We may not have to go to the river, and we may not have to go the road to Damascus, but there is a meeting of Jesus Christ. There is a submission to the Son of God. There is a desire to be a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, our servant of the Son of God. There is a renouncing of self and a giving of self to God in faith in Jesus Christ. It must be. Paul, as he writes to Philemon, verse 9, calls himself something he's never used before. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul the aged. You say, does that mean Paul meant he was an old man in years? I don't know. But I know that it means that Paul realized he was an old man in service. It meant that he had had the sunshine days of life, and they were now gone. He no longer rejoiced in the noonday brilliance of a man in his full powers to preach the gospel. I think Paul was just tired. Not bitter, not disappointed, not angry, just tired. And being so weary in flesh, and being so enlightened in the spirit, I think Paul said, I want to go home. When he wrote to Timothy, he said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me. Saul of Tarsus, arrogant, obtaining the righteousness by law, persecuting, bending men's knees in disavowal of faith in Jesus Christ, creating blasphemy. Paul, a servant of God. Paul, the aged. I would point out something this morning that I hope you will pay particular attention to. In verse 7, Paul uses past tense verbs. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And I've pointed this out many times. Before you can ever say, I have, you must say, I will. You cannot come to the end of life as Paul did and say, I have, if you haven't. You'll never be able to say, I have, until you say, I will.